Praise God. Thank you, Galen. And give our men, didn't they do an awesome job today? Amen. How many know that's the place that God wants us to dwell is in a place of surrender to Him? Amen. Amen. We're glad everybody is here today. Those of you that are here, we welcome you. And we miss when you're not here. Just know that. And so God is good. And awesome presence in the house. Presence of God is here today. And so, and again, as Brother North said, Happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. And so we celebrate this today. Well, let me just, don't forget Wednesday night, Bible study, 7:30. It's going to be an awesome time. And we had a 7 o'clock. That's a good time, isn't it? Still 7:30. We're halfway through. Sometimes we're finished at 7:30, so you better get here at 7. Yeah. The men had a good time yesterday at over at Full Gospel Church, and so we worshiped together, and then the men ate together, and so it was just a wonderful time there of fellowship. But I'm excited about today, being Father's Day. And let me begin this morning with just a little bit of humor. Is that okay? All right, since it is Father's Day. Someone wrote this, what my dad taught me. My dad taught me about religion. He said, you better pray that stain will come out of the carpet. My dad taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your mother. Uh-oh. My dad taught me about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. Woo! My dad taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. Some of those ring true, don't they? My dad taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Oh my gosh. My dad taught me about the weather. It looks like a tornado swept through this room. Amen. Amen. So hopefully our fathers did teach us some good things about life. Amen. Amen. And they did. And they did. All right. Well, let's get into our scripture text this morning. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 31. And again, we welcome everybody here today. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen. So today is Father's Day, and I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the truest father of all. This is one day of the year that we set apart to remember and to honor our dads. For many, it is a joyous day because of the fond relationships that we might still have with our dad. For others, it's the wonderful memories of our fathers. And I thank God when I think of my own dad, most of everyone here that knew him called him Pawpaw. And growing up, he didn't show his faith outwardly. He didn't take us to church. He left that to Mom. But he wanted us in church. He worked hard at being a provider for his family. And when we started our ministry back in 1995, He made a decision to get fully involved, and he hardly ever missed a Sunday. Only when he was not feeling well would he stay home, and he would even come when Mom stayed home. And he had a big heart to give and helped others, sometimes at a fault. But he instilled into us a legacy about, especially about a good work ethics. He believed in giving it all you got and not giving up. And that was my dad. But now there was a moment in my life when this father relationship took on a whole new dimension. Being saved at an early age, I did not understand it fully at the moment until much later in life as I matured spiritually. But when I accepted the Lord Jesus into my heart, that was the day when I was adopted into a whole new household. A household in which my earthly parents also became my spiritual brother and my sister, because then we shared a common heavenly Father. And since that day, just like many of you, I have enveloped, if you please, I have been enveloped in a paternal care that transcends any other earthly love that I've ever known. When I repented of my sins and surrendered my whole being to Christ, and I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, in that moment I was made a son of God and restored then to a perfect, intimate relationship with the great Creator. Was I perfect? Absolutely not. And here then is the wonderful hope that we can all have. And I'm well aware that not everyone has had the same experience with their earthly fathers. Sadly, some have been betrayed and hurt by their father. Others dominated by a tyrant, if you please. Others have been ignored and even deserted. And then there are some who never even knew their earthly father. But now here's the hope that we have this morning. None of us have to live without having and knowing God as our Heavenly Father. Amen. He loves every one of His children without distinction, and He is faithful and true to the uttermost, just like He saves us to the uttermost. And I hope you get this morning, because there is none like Him. Amen. His paternal care, His fatherly care, is not just a replacement or a compensation for those who haven't known an earthly father's love. No, that's not it at all. He is the truest Father of all. And every one of us is in need of His love. This morning, I want us to look for just a few minutes. I won't be long. I want us to look briefly at what the Scriptures teach us concerning Almighty God as our Father. First, I want us to consider this. God is, by His nature, a Father. He has a Father's heart. And it's the very nature of who God is. He is a Father. And we see this then revealed in His relationship to the creation. God created all things, and He sustains it all continuously with meticulous care. Listen to Jesus' words again here in Matthew. I want to read in chapter 6 again, our part of our text. But I want to begin with the 26th verse. It says, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things, again, the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. So God is then by nature a father. But even to say that, listen, is not enough. The Bible goes on further with this. Secondly, I want us to consider that God is the model father. Here's where so many people get it all turned around. People will say, you talk about God being a father? Well, you should have met my dad. He was a user. He was a tyrant. He beat on us. Don't talk to me about fathers. If God is a father, then I don't want to know him. Please hear me closely this morning. God is not just like a father. He is the Father. The Bible shows God then to be like the model of a father upon which all other fathers are judged. And if you want to know what a true father is, don't look at your earthly father. Don't look at my earthly father or any other earthly father, however good they may appear to be. Open the pages of God's Word and see the heart of the Father revealed in the very nature of God Himself. He is the model. Would you look at somebody and just tell them, He is the model. He is the one who is faithful and true and merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, loving, affectionate, providing, patient, kind. And could we not go on and on this morning? Now, watch this. We find over in Matthew 23 and verse 9, Jesus says this, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." Now, that might seem like a very strange verse. Well, why do you think that would be? Should I be calling my dad by his first name instead? No, not at all. Jesus is speaking here then in an ultimate sense. In the same passage, he says not to call any man rabbi, meaning teacher, for Christ is our teacher. But we know that in other parts of Scripture, it's clear that if we cannot receive earthly teachers given by God, it's a sign of immaturity. So what Jesus is saying is we are not to look to any man as an ultimate instructor. That place belongs to Jesus Christ. So why do you suppose that is? Because guess what? Men make mistakes. They will fail us. Surely not, Pastor. Yes, we do. But Jesus Christ will not fail us. Ever. He will not fail us ever. All teachers then are to be evaluated alongside our great teacher. What they must be compared with what he said, or what they say must be compared with what he said. If they conform to his example, guess what? They are valid. Where they do not, then they are to be rejected. And Jesus says that same thing goes for fathers. Call no man father in an ultimate sense. Let's not find ourselves then challenging or calling into question God's character by judging him then according to the standards of our earthly fathers. How many know that? He is the standard by which we judge fatherhood. The most godly father on earth is but a shadow then of God's perfection. So God is the model father. And we see this throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, God models the Father in His relationship to Israel as a nation. And then over in the Gospels, we find where God models the Father in His relationship to Jesus Christ as His Son, who is His very own flesh. And then in the New Testament, God models the Father in His relationship to us as believers who are called the church. And this leads us on then to consider the third thing, third and final thing. Remember, first, God is by His very nature a Father. Second, God is the model Father. And then thirdly, God is made our Father when we receive Christ. Galatians 3:26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask, have you surrendered your life and made Christ your Lord and Savior? If so, then you are a child of God in the fullest sense. You've been adopted into the divine household and you lived your life under the watchful paternal care of the Father. Galatians 4:6 says, "God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Again, we have been received. We have received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. What is Abba? It means daddy. It's the language of children in the household. It's a term of affection. Now, I want you to look at something here with me. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, "And when the tempter came to him," Jesus, speaking of Jesus, "he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Notice the if of the enemy. If you are the Son of God. Listen, ever since the Garden of Eden, the enemy has continually come to the people of God with an if. Look at the tactic that Satan uses. He doesn't come to us with a point-blank denial of God's Word, because we might just see through that, Sister Nora. If someone comes to you and says, "Well, you're not a Christian, how could God ever forgive you?" Well, I believe most of us then could answer that with an assurance from Scripture. In fact, my Bible says, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And I did that, and I got saved. And I know who I am and who I belong to this morning. The Scripture says, "I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." So yes, we are prepared then when there is that direct frontal attack on our faith. But we know the enemy doesn't fight fair. Did y'all know that? In case you didn't know that, I'm here to tell you, the devil doesn't fight fair. Amen. Notice again the devil's tactic. And let's realize that doubt serves his purposes far better than denial. And so he comes with an if you are the Son of God. And he aims his if right at the most vital parts. He aims his if at our sonship. In Jesus' case, he attacked his divine sonship. And that's what he uses on us today. at every opportunity, he will try to get us doubting who we are. He will try to get us doubting our adoption, doubting just who we are in Christ, doubting our own salvation. And the enemy does it in despite what the scriptures say about it. Concerning Jesus prophetically, from Psalms chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession." And then concerning you and I, Galatians 3:26 says this, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Understand then, the enemy wants to make us doubt who we are. He wants us to doubt our sonship with Christ. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. He aims as if at our Father's honor. In the wilderness, though, that we find where the devil came to tempt Jesus at his time of weakness. Understand, he had been fasting for 40 days, and he was hungry, and he was weary. And Satan's temptation was to doubt that the Father would provide, to blame God for letting him hunger. And guess what? He tries the very same temptations on us today. Watch this. Well, if you are the Son of God, if you are a child of God, like you proclaim, why does he let you suffer? Why aren't you healed now? Why are you still dealing with all of that? Why is your family so divided? He knows just what to come at us with, y'all. Why are you so broke? Why do you argue and fuss all the time? Oh, my gosh. Why do you say some of those things at the dogs, you know? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Perhaps he's not your father at all. Maybe he doesn't even exist. Guess what? I hate the devil. We've got to know, y'all. We've got to know when he comes at us. Listen, as children of the Most High God, we have to realize something. It's all a great hoax. It's all a lie. Remember the if of the enemy. He's trying to get you to doubt God. Playing off our natural affections and desires, and yes, our weaknesses. Well, if he's really your father, why doesn't he give you everything that you ask for and everything that you want when you want it? Well, let me just ask us something. As parents, isn't it because we love our children that we don't give them everything they ask? Amen. Used to be that with my children when they were young. Well, there are many good reasons why we sometimes withhold from our children. Why then should we presume that it's unthinkable for God to deny us some things? Because it might be detrimental to us down the road somewhere. And we not know. But guess what? He knows us better than we know ourselves. Again, we've got to realize the tricks of the enemy. God does love us, and he wants the best for our lives. And yes, as we pray, and it's according to his will, and he sees that it will be good for us, he will answer our prayer, and he will give us what the desires of our heart are. The devil comes to make us doubt the love of our Heavenly Father. So, as I end today, have you noticed the temptations to doubt are not usually thrown at us here in this building on a Sunday morning? It always seems that it's in the midst of those rough places. Guess what? On Sunday evening, when the car breaks down, on Monday when the air conditioning goes out or the fridge starts going out or even the water heater, Brother Tony. Oh, my gosh. Always when the trying and difficult circumstances come our way. So what is the key? What is the key to all of this then? What then might the answer be for us? It's called being prepared in advance. Stay alert. Stay aware. In fact, the Bible tells us to watch and pray. Guess what? You can pray with your eyes open. Amen. And yes, we must be fully persuaded of who we are in Christ. We must be fully persuaded in knowing our Heavenly Father and His love for us. Fully persuaded of our sonship. We are sons and, yes, daughters claimed as His own. And therefore, we are the objects of His eternal loving care and His tender affections. And yes, He looks after His children as a mother hen looks after her chicks. This is not a time then to play patty cake. Guess what? We know hard times are going to come. And guess what? The world is not getting any better. And we know it's good to have extra stored up in the natural. That's only smart. But how much more important then is it that we are prepared in the Spirit, knowing who we are and the authority that we carry?